turn this evening in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And we'll read verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Then if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 22. I think it's significant to note these are the last words of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. That means, so shall it be. And John responds, even so come, Lord Jesus. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Living in the Light of Christ's Coming. Jesus is coming. I want to ask you, how are you living? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would take the Word and put it in hearts tonight. I pray for those that are unsaved, that this may be the very night that you would draw them by your Spirit to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would also work in the hearts of your children, that we would understand that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and that we need to be ready, watching, praying, serving, obeying. And I pray, Lord, that you would prepare us for your coming. We need you tonight. This church needs revival. Your people need encouraged. Oh God, help us. We are weak, we're frail, and we need you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us first, and we pray that you would give us grace to love you more, that our lives would be surrendered and under your authority each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the passages that we just read, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is emphasizing the fact that without a doubt, He is coming again. Over and over again throughout the New Testament, we are admonished to watch for the coming of the Lord, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, to be in a constant state of readiness and anticipation for His soon return. We're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in spite of all the admonitions, all of the plain declarations that Jesus is coming again, I fear that a large majority of professing Christians don't really believe a word of it. I'm going to give you a little test. And it's a convicting test. I want you to think about how you've gone about your daily routine over the past week. as you read your Bible, as you went to work, as you came to church, did you give any thought whatsoever that today could be your last day on planet Earth for this time, that the rapture could occur, that Jesus could come again? As a child of God, did you even think for a moment that Christ could come and the next event that you will face will be the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat in heaven? You see, we often go about our daily routines and we give very little thought that Jesus could come at any moment. We give very little thought that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account of our service, our motives, what we've done in the name of the Lord. He is coming again. How are you living, and are you ready for the coming of the Lord? This doctrine has made such a powerful impression in my life. It's the very truth that God used to arrest my attention and begin the process of conviction. Because I can remember back in 1980, the man that witnessed to me, who's now my brother-in-law, one of the first things that he began to witness to me the first time I ever met him. He said, "My name's Greg Rittenhouse, and I want you to know right off the bat, I'm saved by the grace of God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ." And he looked at me and he said, "I don't know much about you, but I can tell you this, if you don't repent, you're going to hell." Wow, what a way to talk to somebody. That's the way I thought, you know. And I can remember he would bring a New Testament, which I didn't even know what a New Testament was. I didn't own a New Testament. I referred to it as that little book. And he'd open it up and he'd read passages out of Matthew chapter 24, and he'd talk about the end times and how that Christ was coming again, and he'd look me right in the eye and he said, "You know what? You're not ready. If Jesus Christ comes today, you're going to be left behind." And he would take me to passages of Scripture and explain to me how things were going to fall out during the tribulation period, how the Antichrist would be revealed, how it would be the worst time that planet Earth has ever known. And man, it troubled me. And I can remember asking him, this was before I was ever saved, I said, "Do you have another one of those books? Can I have that? I want to show that to my friends." And he said, "Oh, well, here, you can have mine." I said, "Will you mark that passage?" And I can remember I was unsaved. I'd be out with my friends. I put it in my back pocket for good luck. I was a heathen. I didn't know any better. But we'd be out carrying on, and every once in a while I'd pull it out and I'd open up to the passage that he marked, and I'd look at my friends and I'd say, "You know what? We're going to be left behind. This book says that Jesus Christ is coming again and we're going to be left behind." Oh, they'd get so mad at me. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, you're going to be left behind. The coming of the Lord is imminent. That word means it is threatening to occur at any moment. It means that Christ could come today. No one knows the day or the hour of His coming, but we're to live our lives as though He could come this very day. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He's talking about the salvation of the body, the glorification we'll experience. And he says it's nearer now than when, the day we believe. Listen, Christ is coming. How are you living? It could be tonight. This could be the very night. If you're unsaved, this may be, you may come to services tomorrow and a majority of people will be gone. That's the reality. James chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." He's even at the door. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christ to come? And you know, the fact is, He's going to come in God's appointed time. Whether you're ready or not, Jesus is going to come again. And a large majority of people are going to be taken by surprise. The lost will suffer the terrible consequences of the tribulation. I can remember when I was first saved, I mean, this was something that really gripped me. It became so real to me that the tribulation was a real threat. And I fear that over time, we don't even talk about it anymore. People don't talk about the coming of the Lord, but He's coming again. It could be tonight. If you're unsaved, you are going to suffer like you've never suffered before under the dominion of the Antichrist. You think this world is in bad shape now. Wait till the Antichrist is revealed. And if you're saved and you're not ready, you're going to lose rewards. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." I wonder, what are you doing in your life on a day-by-day basis that could make you ashamed when Jesus comes again? What are you thinking? What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you saying? Where are you going? What are you doing? Oh, that God would give us a greater understanding that He could come at any moment of any day, and that we ought to live in such a way that we are ready, that we're watching, that we're anticipating the coming of the Lord. That it won't come on us as a surprise. But that every day we'd live like this could be the day. This may be the day that Jesus comes. Amen. I remember when I was first saved and I'd witnessed to my grandparents. Oh, they would get so mad at me. I'd go in, one day I went up there and I started witnessing and I was sharing the gospel, and they had all gone to they had been raised in the Church of Christ, and I just told them, I said, "Listen, baptism won't save you. You need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ alone." And my gramps said, "Are you going to keep coming up here as a preacher or as my grandson?" I said, "Gramps, I'm both." He said, "Well, that book gets full of all kinds of contradictions." I said, "Oh." I said, "I've read it. I've read the book." And I said, "How many times have you read it, Gramps?" He said, "Well..." I said, "Well, if there are contradictions, would you show them to me? Here's my Bible." I wasn't being disrespectful. I love my Gramps. I believe the Lord later saved him. I have hope for that. He began to read the Berea Baptist Banner. I'd go to their house. I'd set up a chair, and they'd ask me what I preached on. I'd put my Bible there, and I'd preach a message to them right there in their living room. But I can remember how my grandma would get so upset when I would say, "I can't wait for the Lord to come. It could be today, And she'd say, What? You want the Lord to come now? What about this? I said, the Bible tells us to look for His coming. I'm looking for that blessed hope. I'm going to be going to heaven. I have nothing to fear. You know, lost people, if you're lost, I pray that you're shaking in your boots. I pray that the fear of God is truly dealing with you, and that tonight you will, for once and for all, release all of your self-righteousness, all of your false opinions and false ideas, and how you think salvation is supposed to occur, and simply trust Christ. There is no complication about it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Lay hold on that. Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, there's nothing more glorious than coming to Jesus Christ and knowing that you are resting in His finished work and just simply trusting that He died for you, that He was buried, that He rose again, that He's alive forevermore, that He put away your sins, that you are forgiven, justified, and you are ready for heaven. Amen. Tonight, when I go to bed, I have all of that assurance. Amen. When I was saved, God didn't open the heavens. He didn't do anything special as far as there wasn't a lightning strike, there wasn't an audible voice, there wasn't any birds flying around my head. He just convicted me in my heart. And He showed me that Jesus Christ is the only way. I came to an end of myself. That's where God will bring you to. And that day, I wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world. I didn't care what my family thought, what my friends thought. The only thing I wanted was to know Jesus Christ. I pray God will deal with you that way. Now, I'm going to tell you how most people live in light of Christ's coming. Look at here at Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Here's how most people are living. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 37. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating. Nothing wrong with drinking, not drinking alcohol, but you gotta drink fluids. Not alcoholic fluids. marrying, that's a good thing. And giving in marriage. It's a blessed honor to give your son or your daughter in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The people in Noah's day just went about their daily business with no thought of eternity. They paid no attention to the warnings of Noah. I mean, this guy was building the biggest boat that's ever been on water. And day by day, he's building the boat. He's warning people that, listen, you're going to have to be prepared. Judgment is coming. The name Methuselah means when he dies and a mission shall go forth, there is going to be a terrible judgment that comes. He was a faithful preacher of righteousness. But they went about their daily business as if they had no accountability before God. They lived carelessly. They lived selfishly. They lived immorally. They lived unfaithfully. They had no devotion to God. They had no fear of God. You know, the sad thing is, I think there's a lot of people who profess to be saved that are living that way. That have no real concern that one day they're going to have to stand before the Lord. Many that profess to be saved are living just like the people of Noah's day. There's no urgency about serving the Lord, no anticipation or earnest expectation of His soon return. They're just surviving. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. I want to abound. I want to live in the light of Christ coming. I don't know where I read about this illustration, but they said that there were three apprentice devils that were standing before Satan. And they were trying to impress the devil. The first one said, "I'll go and tell people there is no God." Satan said, "No, that's not going to work. Most people realize that there is a God. Even we tremble. Even the devils tremble because we know there's a God." The second one said, "Well, I'll go and say there's no hell." Satan said, "Well, there are people that may deceive themselves into believing that, but I still don't think that's going to work because most people understand that there is a judgment that's coming." The third one said, "I'll go and tell people they've got plenty of time and there's nothing to worry about." And Satan said, "Go and spread that message far and wide." You know, that's the way a lot of people live. Like they're going to live forever. You know, tonight could be your last night sitting in a pew. "As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." You're not promised of another day. Christ could come. And then there are others who call themselves servants of God, and they convince themselves that the Lord has delayed His coming. Look there at Matthew 24 and verse 48. "But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth His coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now a lot of people go to that and they say, "Well, there's somebody that lost their salvation." No, he was an evil servant. He was a hypocrite. He professed that he was a servant of the Lord, but his life betrayed that profession. I believe there's a lot of people like that. It's the mark of a hypocrite. When somebody says they belong to Christ, but they really don't believe what He says, and they're not looking for His coming. Here's what the Word of God says. Those kind of people will have their portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When my kids were little, my boys especially, Katie was kind of a obsessive compulsive. I mean, my daughter, everything was in line. Now, whenever we want something organized, we say, "Katie, do it." And everything's got to be in its place, and this has to be done now, and everything's orderly. My boys, they shared a room, and I can remember going in there, and they'd be surrounded with army men and cars and footballs and baseballs. They'd just be right in the thick of it, man. And no order to it whatsoever. They're just playing. And I'd say, boys, I want this room cleaned up. Now, I'm leaving. And it better be done when I get back. And they'd always say, well, when are you coming back? And I'd say, that's for me to know. Now come on, get on it. And you know, there were times I'd come back and they'd be in there laboring and working, but there'd be other times they didn't heed my warning. And I'd come back and they'd just be playing and they weren't ready for my coming. And I'm going to tell you what it did to me as a parent. It grieved me. Because they really didn't believe what I said. Now, they learned to believe what I said. But I can remember how my heart felt when my children wouldn't take heed. How would you feel? You knock on the door, you open it, only to find your child carelessly playing, paying no heed to your warnings, not believing you. See, I fear that too many of us are just playing religion. And we're not heeding the warning of our Heavenly Father that His Son is coming very soon. And we need to be ready. And instead, we continue to make a mess of things instead of getting our lives right and being ready for Him to come. His coming is imminent. And you know, there are people tonight that scoff at this message. The Bible says in the last days, scoffers shall come. When you see what's going on in our world, if there's ever a time that you and I ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, truce breakers, without natural affection, and on we could go. We're living in the last of the last days. The Middle East is about to blow sky high, just like the Bible teaches. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. He's coming. Are you ready? Now I'm going to show you how God's people are to live in light of His coming. Look at chapter 24 there, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. How are we to live in light of the coming of Jesus Christ? In a constant state of readiness and watchfulness. What happens when one of your friends or relatives announces that they're coming to visit you? Now, have you ever had somebody that never announces? And they knock on your door and you got dirty dishes in the sink? My first reaction is to put them in the oven. See? I think that's a secondary purpose of ovens. But if you ever come to my house, don't be snooping around in my oven. I may not be ready for your coming. But I'll never forget when we moved to Buffalo Creek, and it seemed like we moved a world away My wife and I both grew up near Cincinnati. We'd always been real close with our families. We weren't far from them. And we were moving 3.5 hours away. And I can remember when my mom and dad said, "Hey, we're coming to visit you." For the first time, when they said, "We're coming to visit you." Oh, man. Everybody was excited. Me, Tammy, Katie, Josh, Aaron, I said, "Grandma and Gramps are coming. Papa's coming." And they said, "Oh, great." And I said, "Now get to work. We got to get this place shined up." Man, every one of them kids, Katie was second grade, she's running a sweeper. Josh is dusting. Aaron is just acting like he's folding stuff. He was about 4 years old, he didn't know much. But every one of them, they're working away, I kept saying, "They're coming." And every once in a while, I'd go out and peek out the front window, and I'd say, "I think they're here." And everybody'd run to the window. And I'd say, "Now, false alarm, get back to work." But I can remember when they pulled up in the driveway and we were ready. And what a joy it was. We hadn't seen them for months. And how our hearts were thrilled to be reunited. And what a blessing it was to know that we were ready. Everything was shined up, cleaned up. We anticipated their coming and we prepared for it. Then I thought, why is it that we show more respect to friends and relatives than we do to the Lord of glory, who loved us and gave Himself for us? Every day we ought to be ready. Every day we ought to be preparing. He said the very last words that He spoke in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly." And John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." We're also to live godly, holy, consecrated, pure lives. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. If the Lord saved you, you are a different person. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're saved, you're changed. If you've never been changed, you've never been saved. And your desire is now to live for the Lord. There is a part of you that wants to honor God, that wants to walk in His way. And here's what He says in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." A.W. Pink said how clear it is from these words that the blessed hope is intended to check the spirit of self-pleasing and self-seeking in the believer and to promote holiness in the daily life. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." The coming of Christ is a purifying hope. Imagine the transformation that would take place in our everyday lives if we really believe in the earnest expectation of Christ's return. How fervently would we pray? How diligently would we search the Word for His truth? How urgently would we witness? How joyfully would we worship with God's people? We wouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together because we'd see the day approaching. We would do it with joy. We'd say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And as we went, we would tell everybody, there's one way to God. It's through Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe on Him. There would be a greater sense of urgency. There would be a transformation. If we believed in the blessed hope. I'm going to tell you how this thing got a hold of me when I was first saved. The day I was baptized, the pastor said, I guess we'll see you tonight. I was a student at the University of Cincinnati. And believe it or not, I was in business school. That's what my degree is in. It's not in theology. Of course, you probably figured that out. But I was going to be an attorney. I was going to get my business degree and then I was going to go to law school. That's what my plans were. Well, the day I was baptized, the pastor said, I guess we'll see you tonight. And I said, nah, I won't be there tonight. Of course, I was pretty naive. I said, no, I got a term paper to write. I can't make it. And I went home. This was in December of 1980. Went home, tried to get a little work done. Started getting really convicted. And I didn't go to church. Well, we'd been talking about the rapture. Now, mind you, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know any doctrines, really. I just knew Jesus Christ was coming again. And it could be today. And the guy that I rode to church with, Greg Rittenhouse, I started calling when I thought he would be home from church because I was convicted. And I called about 9 o'clock, no answer. 10 o'clock, no answer. And I'm getting really worried. I'm thinking to myself, Jesus has come and I'm left behind because I didn't go to church tonight. See, I didn't know nothing. All right? 11 o'clock, no answer. I went in and woke my parents up. I said, do you think Christ has come? And they said, what's wrong with you, son? Why'd you wake us up? How would we know? At midnight, finally, he answers the phone. And I didn't even say his name or anything. When he answered, I said, oh, praise God! He said, who is this? This was before the days of caller ID. You know, midnight, somebody calls your house and just says, praise God! He said, who is this? I said, it's Tommy. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, I thought the Lord came. And I was left behind. And then he explained to me that since I'm saved, I won't be left behind. He said, but I wouldn't be missing church much anymore. But that's how powerfully Hebrews 10:25 came to me. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. We're to be found loyally, faithfully serving Jesus Christ in His church. Look at Mark chapter 13. In verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. And the ascension was a far journey from earth to heaven. Who left His house and gave authority to His servants. And in this instance, too, I believe that He was giving that authority to His church to carry out the Great Commission. And to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You notice how Jesus associates faithful service with laboring in His house, which is His church. The work of the Lord's church ought to have a primary importance in our lives. We shouldn't forsake it for worldly pleasure, for friends, for relatives, for ball games, without being providentially hindered. Say, but my relatives came in. I got relatives that come in, and what I say is, let's get ready for church. And you say, yeah, but you're the preacher. Yeah, I am the preacher. But I still say that. Let's get ready for church. It's time to go to church. I wonder, what would the Lord think if you forsook the house of God to go to a ball game? And He came that night. That's troubling to me. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You might say, oh, preacher, you're meddling now. I wonder what's most important. The one who loved me and gave Himself for me, who sacrificed His life so that I could have life and forgiveness, or the things of this world? Lastly, we ought to live with a sense of real urgency. Today could really be our last day before the Lord comes. Are you urgent about that? Do you have a sense of urgency that Christ could come? If you're unsaved right now, does it trouble you that you're going to be separated from God's people? And even worse than that, you're going to be separated from God. Are you ready? Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. Why are we so unaffected by a message like this? Why do we remain cold and indifferent to the claims of Christ? Why aren't we more convicted? The Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I don't want to be in that crowd. I want to be ready. I want to be watching. I want to be waiting. I want to be joyfully serving and delighting myself in my Lord's service. May God help us. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according that He had done, whether it be good or bad. Live in that reality. Are you ready How are you living? If you're not saved, trust Him now. Repent and believe the gospel, how that Christ died, how He was buried, how He rose again. Don't let another moment pass. Have a sense of urgency. Say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. I guarantee you, you come to Christ, He will not cast you out. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. I believe that promise. But if you don't come, you don't trust Christ, He could come and you're not ready, and you're going to face judgment. Oh, that God would use this message to awaken us. Let's all stand. The song leader, musicians had come, and Brother Reynolds, if you'll take over the service, please.